Imagine walking into a room and being immediately judged, not by your appearance or credentials, but by the way you pronounce your words. This invisible force shapes our lives more profoundly than we realize. Our accents function as social badges that signal belonging or otherness in ways more powerful than visible markers like clothing or appearance. While psychologists have extensively studied how race and gender create social divisions, they've largely overlooked something we use every day, our speech patterns. This linguistic dimension of identity affects everything from who gets hired to whose testimony is believed in court. Perhaps most remarkably, even babies make social judgments based on accent before they can speak themselves. Unlike racial discrimination, linguistic bias remains socially acceptable, with people openly expressing preferences for certain speech patterns without fear of censure. Having the wrong accent can lead to discrimination in employment, housing, education, and legal settings, often with little legal recourse. When Manuel Fragante, a Filipino-American who scored highest on a civil service exam, was rejected for a DMV position solely because of his accent, the courts sided with the employer, ruling they could legally reject him based on communication skills. Language doesn't just affect how others perceive us, it fundamentally shapes how we think. Bilingual people often report feeling like different versions of themselves when switching languages. When presented with moral dilemmas in their second language, people become more utilitarian and less emotional in their decision-making. As one Romanian-American participant noted, he'd be less likely to make the utilitarian choice in a moral dilemma when using Romanian rather than English. Our relationship with language begins before birth. Newborns arrive with innate linguistic capabilities, already preferring their mother's language from womb exposure. By 5 months, babies recognize their native language, and by 10 months, actively favor native speakers. American infants reach for toys from English speakers, while French babies choose French speakers. Babies expect shared language to indicate shared traits and social bonds. Studies show infants are surprised when same language speakers avoid each other, but expect speakers of different languages to remain separate. They also assume same language speakers share food preferences. While speech adaptation remains possible throughout life, our fundamental linguistic identity forms during a critical childhood period. Missing this window has severe consequences, as shown by cases like Jeannie and Chelsea, who never mastered grammar after childhood language deprivation. The emergence of Nicaraguan Sign Language in the 1970s-80s demonstrates children's innate language-creating abilities. When deaf children who previously used basic gestures gathered in schools, they spontaneously developed a complete language, with later generations refining it. Speech patterns evolve with our identities and define social groups. Sociolinguist Penelope Eckert shows how adolescents drive linguistic innovation, though older generations often view these changes as decline. Her Detroit High School study revealed jocks and burnouts used distinct vowel pronunciations to signal group membership. These patterns reflected social identity rather than background. Working-class jocks spoke like jocks, middle-class burnouts like burnouts. Modern trends like upspeak and vocal fry demonstrate generational evolution in speech. While older adults often criticize these patterns, younger people see them as markers of competence. Our speech patterns continue evolving through adulthood, though politicians like Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama faced criticism for shifting accents, such changes are largely unconscious, as evidenced by Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg's transition from careful enunciation as a young lawyer to subtly embracing her Brooklyn roots later in life. Language powerfully marks identity, both uniting and dividing people. When politicized, these differences can ignite conflict, as seen in 1976 South Africa, where mandatory Afrikaans instruction sparked violent protests among Black students. Language instantly signals belonging, creating stark us versus them divisions. Our ability to detect linguistic differences develops early and stays precise. Though linguists view language as a continuum, people perceive rigid boundaries through speech, Even practiced speakers rarely convince natives with imitated accents, while we often struggle to differentiate between speakers of unfamiliar languages. Throughout history, shibboleths, linguistic markers revealing outsider status, have been weaponized. The biblical Gileadites used pronunciation to identify Ephraimites, while Americans used Lollapalooza to spot Japanese spies in World War II. The Trayvon Martin case demonstrated modern linguistic discrimination when Rachel Jontel's African-American English testimony was dismissed by an all-non-black jury as not credible. Children develop linguistic hierarchies early. By age 9, American children associate Northern accents with intelligence and Southern ones with friendliness, regardless of their own dialect. Speakers of devalued dialects like Hawaiian Creole or African American English often internalize negative attitudes in standard English-focused schools. Media perpetuates these biases through children's entertainment. Disney films typically cast heroes with standard American accents, while villains speak with foreign accents. Studies show American-accented characters are usually complex heroes, while those with foreign accents are relegated to villainous or stereotypical roles. Children prioritize language over race in social preferences. Julie, a white child, chose native-accented speakers of any race over foreign-accented white children. Her mother's relief, "Phew, Julie isn't racist," revealing how linguistic bias remains more socially acceptable than racial bias. When presented with flirps, English speakers, and zazzes, French speakers, preschoolers initially opposed all teasing, but later viewed cross-group teasing as more acceptable, showing how language shapes moral boundaries early. Despite beliefs that brains can only handle one language properly, most children worldwide grow up multilingual. Pre-1960s claims about bilingualism hindering intelligence have been thoroughly debunked. Our brains naturally process multiple languages simultaneously. While bilingual children's vocabulary in each language may develop gradually, their total conceptual vocabulary matches monolingual peers. Bilingualism enhances executive control, the ability to focus on relevant information while filtering distractions. These benefits are strongest in young children and older adults, potentially delaying dementia onset. Even minimal second language exposure improves social understanding. Studies show bilingual 15-month-olds excel at detecting speech inconsistencies, interpreting emotional tone, and processing both verbal and nonverbal cues. Schools offer our best chance for linguistic revolution, but often reinforce language biases. While America recognizes bilingualism's importance, most schools delay second language instruction until middle school, missing children's prime learning period. Research reveals an unconscious trust bias toward native accents over foreign ones, affecting credibility assessments. Current laws don't address how listeners' prejudices impact communication. Many nations successfully embrace linguistic diversity. Papua New Guinea teaches in 430 languages, Wales maintains bilingual instruction, and Brunei alternates between Malay and English. We must treat linguistic diversity as an asset, helping children acquire new languages while preserving their native tongue. In our connected world, accents should reflect our journey without limiting opportunities. By embracing linguistic diversity rather than penalizing difference, we can use language to unite rather than divide.